Should I switch churches if I don't like contemporary worship? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Hi, it's Bill Meyer along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. Our phone lines are open, and you can call us for the next 25 minutes or so. Here's the number. It's 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. You can also watch us live on Instagram and YouTube today, and of course, you can always email us at questions@corechristianity.com. So, Adriel, why are there balloons in the studio today?
Yeah, if you're watching us on YouTube, there are gold and silver balloons throughout the studio. Today is my 50th birthday. I'm just joking, not really. Well, today is an exciting day because today is the first day we're offering here at Core Christianity a book that I just wrote with New Growth Press called Praying with Jesus. And so super duper excited about this. My first book, more than anything, just hope that it is an encouragement for many people in their relationship with the Lord, especially, you know, with cultivating a stronger prayer life. I know that that's something that many Christians wrestle with and want to grow in. I've always said, I've never talked to a believer who says, oh, you know, that's one area of my life where it's just, you know, we're good to go. I pray like I feel like I should. I think every one of us feels like, yeah, I could definitely grow in my prayer life. And so I hope that this is just one resource that encourages people to grow in their prayer lives. And so, yeah, praying with Jesus, getting to the heart of the Lord's Prayer. And Bill, I think your copy is in the mail. So
thank you. Appreciate that. You know, the fact is, if you go to the Core Christianity website, you know what a prolific writer Pastor Adriel is. Lots of great articles and Bible studies that he's written or co-written. And we're so excited about this new book. We're going to be offering that book later on in the program. So stick around for that. Once again, it's called Praying with Jesus, Getting to the Heart of the Lord's Prayer. How about that applause one more time? Can you hear that? Yeah, there you go. We're really happy for you. It's very
thanks,
cool
Bill.
To be a published
I'm feeling
published
the
author.
Love here. I mean, with all the balloons especially, I'm feeling the love, and so super grateful for the team here.
That's cool. Well, let's go to one of our listeners. This is Jose calling from San Jose, California. Jose, what's your question for Adriel?
Yes, how's it going? Thank you for having me. So my question was in regards to fellowship amongst Orthodox believers that are in theological error. So it comes on a little bit of background to the question. There was recently this this post from Francis Chan. I guess he attended some conference with Benny Hinn, and Francis Chan is someone who has some kind of questionable things, but we've typically known him to affirm the gospel, to affirm theological truth. However, you know, he's keeping some questionable company as of late. And really, in terms of like when we look at doctrine, right, we tend to separate doctrine and, you know, fundamental or primary, secondary, tertiary. And when things are secondary or tertiary, we wouldn't say that those things should necessarily cause us to sever fellowship. However, some of these secondary things, tend to have some really, really critical impact, right? So, I guess just to summarize, my question is like, at what point do we look at something that may be secondary or tertiary, and then say like, even though this is critical enough to say, yeah, I don't think we need to be fellowshipping with this person. Like, where's the line? If it's, again, if it's not a first level, you know, deity of Christ, if it's not a first level issue, but it's really a pretty intense error. Like, where is that line?
Yeah, Jose, man, I appreciate your question, and it's a really good one, and it's complex too, because I imagine, like, I mean, not that this would ever happen, but say Benny Hinn, who I think is in serious theological error and I mean, just practically in a number of different areas. Say he was like, hey, you know, I heard you on Core Christianity. We want to invite you to come and speak at our upcoming conference. Would I want to take that opportunity as an Orthodox minister of the gospel to go and preach the gospel, the law and the gospel? Or would that be rubbing shoulders, you know, too closely with somebody who maybe I feel like, okay, I don't want to condone or make it seem like I'm, you know, I'm supporting this particular ministry or these ideas. And so that's where there's that's where there's some serious question. And I would say if an individual is leading people in error and I'm coming alongside of them and sort of giving a kind of stamp of approval and minimizing the error, I think that's a serious problem. And of course, Benny Hinn for a long time has been associated with the prosperity gospel. I know there was a period, I think it was a couple of years ago now, where he was sort of making some retractions or even said that he had repented. But I'm not up to date with all of the history and kind of, you know, whether or not he's kept true to that and has made significant changes in his own ministry. But I'm sure that there are a number of other doctrinal errors that I would not want to put a stamp of approval on. And yet at the same time, I know that there are many people that are under that kind of teaching, that kind of ministry, who desperately need to hear the pure preaching of the Word of God. And so I think it depends on what's actually happening. You know, when these kinds of events are taking place, are we just, you know, kind of buddy-buddy and affirming one another's ministry, or is it an opportunity to faithfully proclaim the Word of God and maybe even address some of the errors and say, look, this is erroneous. This kind of doctrine, let's say the prosperity gospel, for example, this kind of doctrine will lead you to hell if you embrace it, if you believe it, if you replace the true gospel with this idea, this invention of men. And so I guess, you know, I would say it calls for wisdom, but we do want to be careful that we're not affirming error or giving it a free pass, especially really, really destructive errors like the prosperity gospel. One passage I was thinking of, Jose, in light of your question, is what Paul tells Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 8. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. And so we do draw the line, you know, is a person's ministry, what they're teaching, is it helping people to grow in Christ and to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in good works, or are they divisive? Are they, you know, just pugnacious, you know, always looking for a fight, quarreling about things that are unprofitable, you know, debates about genealogies and the law? And of course, Paul there is identifying probably the agitators in the church at that day, people who are calling people back to the law of Moses and putting them back under Moses. And he says, look, rebuke that person, warn that person, and then have nothing else to do with them. Don't give them the time of day, and don't platform them. And so I think there's wisdom there. Jose, thanks for reaching out to us, brother. God bless you, and God be with you.
This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question about the Bible or the Christian life, doctrine, theology, as Jose had, or maybe something going on in your church life, maybe there's a concern about something that you've experienced in your church or you're confused about, feel free to give us a call at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. Let's go to Alicia calling from Kansas. Alicia, what's your question for Adriel?
Hi, Adriel. Thank you for taking my call. I have heard in a sermon on the radio that demons can predict the future, and I don't believe I've read that in the Bible anywhere, so I just want to clarify that with you.
Hey, sister, great question. So we know that the evil one is able to produce some sort of supernatural manifestations. We know that there are evil spirits that work in and through people today. I think the text to go to is Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. This is a really interesting passage. It says, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owner saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace. So she's possessed by a demon, a spirit of divination, and this has given her this sort of supernatural ability, this fortune-telling ability. You think also in Deuteronomy, you know, the test for false prophets, where God talks about there's a false prophet and they predict something that does come to pass. That doesn't mean you should listen to them necessarily, right? God is testing you here to see whether or not you're going to follow him, whether or not you're going to obey him. And so I do think, you know, that while we wouldn't want to say that demons are all-knowing or omniscient like God is, I do think that they do have, you know, this supernatural power, this power that is greater than what we have, insight into things that we don't know. And that's certainly what it seems to be the case there in Acts chapter 16. But they're also liars and highly deceptive. And so I think that there's this mixture of, you know, this supernatural show to wow people, but also heavy on the lies and deception to lead people away from Jesus, away from Christ. And so I don't think we should give a lot of attention to this kind of a thing. You know, if I'm not sure, in what context the pastor was talking about demons being able to predict the future. I don't know that I would put it like that. I think I'd rather say, just based on texts like Acts 16 and some other passages, that there is a supernatural evil force that is at work in the world that can wow people. And I think people who have been and gotten saved out of the occult and witchcraft, some of them have had these supernatural experiences, and they'll say, "No, I know that their demons are real, that there is an evil power out there." But I don't know that means that we would want to say, you know, that they all know the future, that kind of thing. What was, just to go back to you, sister, what was the context in which this pastor was making his point?
You know, it was about 3 weeks ago, and I've heard a lot of sermons since then. I don't remember. I just remember that sticking in my head, and I thought, wait a minute, and that's just been lingering with me for this time. So yeah. I will check out Acts 16:16, though, and I will talk to the pastor about that and ask him a little bit more in depth.
Yeah.
Where he was going with that and where that where he found that in the Bible. So.
Yeah. Even in the book of Revelation, you know, it seems like, you know, the false prophet, the false demonic teachers are given a kind of supernatural power to perform, you know, false signs and wonders to deceive people. And so that is a thing. You know, you think of Pharaoh's magicians being able to replicate some of the signs that were done during the time of the Exodus. That is a thing, but we don't draw attention. I mean, as followers of Jesus Christ, that's not our focus. Our focus is not to try to, you know, unlock the mysteries of, you know, evil powers. Our focus is on Jesus, the Son of God, who has conquered the forces of evil, and fixing our eyes and our hope upon him. And so appreciate your question, and may God bless you and God protect you and protect all of us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil, as our Lord Jesus taught us to pray.
You know, we do receive a lot of calls about demonic oppression and the devil and how much power does he have. And we actually have a great resource on that topic. It's called Can the Devil Read My Mind? You can find that at corechristianity.com. Well, this is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Love to hear from you if you have a question about the Bible or the Christian life. Maybe if you have some doubts about the Christian faith, we'd love to hear from you. If you consider yourself an agnostic or an atheist and just stumbled on this program, feel free to give us a call. 833-THE-CORE is the number. That's 833-843-2673. Let's go to Anthony in Nebraska. Anthony, what's your question for Adriel?
Yes, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. My question is actually 2-in-1. I was wondering, there's a person calling himself or herself Christian, but they don't attend church at all. is that a sin, or that can trigger to lose their salvation?
Okay, so just for clarification, you say, is that a sin if a person calls himself a Christian but doesn't go to church at all? But then you said, does that mean that they've lost their salvation? I'm sorry, Anthony, I missed that last part.
Yes, that can be triggered to lose their salvation,
okay,
if they don't enter church.
Got it. Thank you for that question. So I don't believe that someone who's truly born again and justified by the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ can lose that gift, can lose their salvation, can go from being a child of God to reverting back to a child of the devil. But I do think that those who are the children of God, those who are justified through Christ's work for us and by the power of the Holy Spirit, are also going to be sanctified and are being sanctified so that they will want to be in church and be a part of Christian community, Christian fellowship. This is probably going to sound shocking to many of you, but I would say, yeah, if you're a Christian but you don't go to church, that's sin. We're called as Christians to worship God and to be a part of the community of faith. And not only is it a sin to neglect the fellowship, to remove ourselves from being under the ministry of the word, but it also leads to more sin. And what I mean by that is if we don't have accountability, fellowship, encouragement, if we sort of distance ourselves from the body of Christ, we make ourselves targets for the evil one. Peter said he goes about like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. And lions are more prone to pick off, you know, the gazelle or whatever that's wandering on its own by itself away from the pack or away from the herd. And so what I would say is you need to, if you're a Christian, be in church. God calls you to worship him. And if it's an issue of, well, hey, man, I just don't want to be there. I don't feel like I identify with the people. Here's what I would say. Christ promised to be with his church, to build the church, his church. And he said that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against her. We don't go to church for the people, to meet with other people. Yeah, I mean, that's a benefit. That's a blessing of fellowship. And I know fellowship can be a hard thing as well. But we go to church to hear the word of God, to meet with the Lord. He is the one who calls us to worship. So the question is not, is God going to be there or not? I mean, if the word of God is faithfully preached, if the ordinances are there that Jesus instituted, God promises to meet with us. The question is not, is God going to be there? Is God going to show up on Sunday by his Spirit? The question is, are you going to be there? Am I going to be there to receive the gifts that God has for me? And so many people miss this. They don't understand this. And so I think this is one of the things that really needs to be recovered today, is a high view of gathering with the people of God. And I realize, you know, there's all sorts of other issues at play here. You know, what if the church doesn't preach the word? Okay, I get that. Well, there's another issue there. But brothers and sisters, we're called to worship by the Lord and to gather with the saints. And if we neglect that, there are serious issues. So my encouragement to everyone is, brothers and sisters, get plugged in. Let us consider, this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As Jesus gets closer and closer, all the more we ought to be gathering together for worship.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Very good word. Thanks for that, Adriel. You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. We mentioned earlier that Adriel has a brand new book that has just been released. We're really excited about this. The title is Praying with Jesus, Getting to the Heart of the Lord's Prayer.
Yes. And as I said, I'm just super stoked about this book. I do hope that you will get a copy, and that it will encourage you. The three chapters that the book starts with are really just getting to the heart of prayer. What is prayer? Learning from Jesus, you know, ways not to pray. I talk about the relationship between the body and prayer. So often in Scripture, you see, you know, prayer is almost this bodily exercise. People, you know, bowing down or standing up, raising their hands, and also the time to pray. We often feel like we don't have any time to pray. And so how do we make sense of that? What does it look like to build a habit of prayer in your life, to make time to commune with God? I talk about that. And then I go into basically unpacking each petition of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave us there in the Sermon on the Mount. And so I do, again, hope that you'll get a hold of this resource, my new book on prayer, Praying with Jesus.
You get this for yourself, your family, maybe for your Bible study, or give it as a gift to someone. You can get Praying for Jesus for a donation of $25 or more by going to corechristianity.com/praying. That's a special URL. Again, it's corechristianity.com/praying, and look for Adriel's brand new book. And of course, you can always call us for any of our resources at 833-THE-CORE. Well, we do receive voicemails here at Core Christianity, and here's one that came in from one of our listeners named Kevin.
I just want to sit there and say that I really appreciate what you all do. The reason for my call is my wife and I, we are members of a church that does contemporary worship. When we go into church, when they start the singing, they'll dim the lights and they'll turn on the spotlight and all these other lights that flash and all that. I know they're not trying to put it all on them. I know some of these guys and they do love the Lord, but it doesn't sit well with me knowing that when we come to church, it's starting to feel like a rock concert show. So my question is what are your thoughts on this? Should we look for a different church? It just doesn't sit well with me. And again, thank you for everything that you all do. God bless.
Well, my brother, I appreciate that question. And look, especially in the last 100 years, a lot of people don't realize this, but in the last 100 years, there really has been a shift in worship and in Christian liturgy in North America. And when I say liturgy, right, I mean is just the order of service and the way we think about church. And a couple of movements have been instrumental in this shift. One is the contemporary worship movement. The other is sometimes referred to as the praise and worship movement. They were actually distinct and then kind of united towards the end. But there was a big shift in focus upon, you know, how we attract people to church, how we experience God's presence in church with an emphasis on singing, trying to kind of cultivate a worship experience and appeal to the emotions. Emotions, there's nothing wrong with that. But there is a theology that undergirds all of that. And I also have concerns. Now, that doesn't mean that a church that does those things can't be faithful to the Word of God and seeking to be devoted to the teaching of the apostles and the fellowship and the breaking of the bread. It's really become the kind of norm for many churches in the United States, but I think it's fair to ask questions. And the main thing is, you know, is the Word of God being faithfully proclaimed, and are the ordinances that Jesus gave to the church being administered as Jesus said? I think that's the big question. The worship style is also important, but it's not as, I would say, important as those other questions in terms of the purity of the preaching and the doctrine, and again, those ordinances that Jesus gave to the church. But I would say, you know, if there is a sense of, okay, God is not the focus here, but man is the focus, and, you know, we're trying to attract people to church, to kind of woo them, and do, maybe a little bit of a bait and switch sort of a thing. And you see this in churches. And I think that it's fair to say, okay, maybe that's not what we're looking. I don't want that. I want to be in a place where the Word of God is going to be faithfully proclaimed and where I can go to church and know that I'm going to hear from the Lord, the pure preaching of the gospel, because that's what we need, brothers and sisters. We need that word from heaven every single week. We need to hear the declaration of the forgiveness of our sins. We need to be encouraged in how to live the Christian life. And if our churches aren't doing that, well, then it's fair to ask questions. Appreciate your question, brother, and God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, go to corechristianity.com/radio, or you can call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, let us know how we can be praying for you. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.